The message you're about to hear has been made possible by the continued financial support of the friends and partners of Faith Hill. To find out more about how to become a partner, be sure to visit faithhill.tv.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who we are.
And praise the Lord. Well, why don't you hold your Bible, lift it up real high, and shout, "This is my Bible. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter, a doer, not just a hearer. Today, I'll learn from God's word, and my life will be transformed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. And so we just came out of a series called Grace for the End Times. Anybody learned something through that? Anybody? Anybody learned something? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we one of the things we also learned in that series was the urgency on evangelism that, you know, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 24 and 25 puts. It says, as the day approaches, we must intensify, right? It says we must intensify. We must not forsake the gathering together. He's talking in particular about how we approach the things of God as the day approaches. And we also learned that Jesus said in these last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah, where the ark is open, which is the dispensation of grace or the church age, where we can reach people. Actually, Jesus said in John 9, I believe, he said, we must do the work of the Father while it's still day before night comes. Amen. And so during this dispensation of grace, which is called day, we must do the work of the Father in reaching out to as many people as possible with the message of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we are in the last of the last days. You know, Iran in 2019 or 17, they launched a clock, right, that they put in what they call the Freedom Square. It's a clock that's a countdown clock on what they call the total annihilation of Israel as a nation from the face of the earth. And so we can see from all these natural things that we are drawing or running towards the finish line, and that should be exciting because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back for us. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. And so the job is that we must reach people. We must reach as many people as possible. And thank God, our Heavenly Father is gracious. He has given us the tools for us to be able to do the job, for us to be able to reach as many people as possible. He has given us the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he never went back. He didn't leave. He's with us. He lives on the inside of you. And he is the one that's going to equip you to do the work. He gives us gifts and the fruit of the Spirit to be able to do that. He has anointed us for the work. It's called an unction for function. And one of the other things that God has done since time immemorial, he has always done it this way, is that God uses the fruit on the believers as a dinner bell to draw the unbelievers into the kingdom. In the Old Testament, that was one of the reasons why God instituted Sabbath. Here is a world, during that time, the whole world would work 24/7, 365. And God went to his people and he said, for you, I want you to only work 6 days and take a break for the seventh so that you may rest. And not only that, on the 49th year, God told them, as you come into the 50th year, which is the year of Jubilee, you should take a Sabbath year rest. And when he did that, if you would compare what the children of Israel were producing to what the world was producing with working one less day, in comparison, they were outdoing the world. And God was just trying to use their fruit to reach out to the world and to show them that, you know, all you need is to be with God for you to be able to live fruitful lives. John 15, Jesus tells us, that he is the true vine, and that if we are connected to him, we are going to bear fruit. Amen. And so God uses our lives to evangelize a dying world. Amen. If you are as defeated as the world, I can see, because your work colleagues, they don't understand tongues. They don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the gifts of the Spirit. They don't understand the anointing. They can't spell it. But what they understand is fruit. They can't fight fruit. Amen? And so God puts fruit on our lives so that we can reach a dying world. If you read in 1 John 5, verse 4, in the NLT, it says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Amen. And so God wants you to be victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 in the NLT, it says, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies. Watch this now. And he will give you victory. And so God, part of what he delivers to us is a life of victory. Amen? See your cousins and your workmates, when they see that victory on your life, they're going to ask how you do it. And guess what? That's going to present an opportunity. Just that in itself is going to present an opportunity for you to preach the gospel to them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see through reading all these scriptures that God wants us to live a victorious life. Amen. It's not something that, you know, some American preacher came up with. That's God's will for all of his children. That is his decreed will for all of his children. And now we have to choose that will or accept it in our lives. For us to be able to live it out. Amen. And so we're going to start a brand new series. But as I start this brand new series, I want to preface it with this. I want to preface it with this. What we're going to be talking about is not a magic trick that you can just use to turn your life around in a moment. See, because people in the world, I guess it's a consequence of what the time that we live in a microwave generation. If you want popcorn, you can take a little a packaged popcorn, you know, in a foil and throw it in the microwave 2 minutes, and 2 minutes later you have popcorn. Way back in the old school, if you wanted popcorn, you'd have to go find a pot, light a fire, and put some oil in it, wait until the oil is boiling, then throw the corn in there, and then it would pop. It took a little longer than just 2 minutes. And I feel, because we live in a microwave generation, the church, you know, don't realize that Christianity is not a microwave, you know, system. Christianity is a lifestyle. And so we have church folk just looking for a transaction, when God is looking for a relationship. God wants to hold our hands and walk together with us, but the church world is just looking for a transaction. Give me a bracelet, that's going to fix that for me. Put an oil here, put it here, and it's going to fix my marriage. Put you know, your hands, lay your hands. And they're looking for some sort of transaction or gimmick to fix their entire life. And God is calling them to a lifestyle of faith. It's a way of life. This is why at the end of every service, we say, for we walk. How? The word walk means this is how we live our lives. Can I get an amen? It says, for we walk by faith and not by the five senses. And so faith is a lifestyle. And so what we're going to be talking about, the topic of this new series, this is what I've called it, because it rhymes and because it's also, you know, neat. I like the topic. We taught this way back in 2017, and we're going to teach it again. I call this topic Hung by the Tongue. And I'm going to show you that some of you who are hung is because of your tongue. And hopefully we can fix that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, your mouth, we're talking about victory. Your mouth is the trigger that releases this victory over your life.
Amen.
You know, in the world system, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never will never hurt me. Anybody ever heard that? He said, man, you can just use words any kind of way, you know, sticks and stones, just don't beat me up. Well, words are doing more hurt than if someone had punched you in the face. I can guarantee you that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 21. And this is what it says in the New King James. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All right, let's read it in English. Let's read it in the NLT, if you will. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Now look up. I want you to see what this one says. This version, I want you to see it with your own eyes. This is what it says. It says, the tongue, your tongue. Someone say, my tongue.
My tongue.
No, it didn't say the government. It said the tongue. Did y'all see that? He said the tongue. He said the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk. Anybody love to talk? Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, both good and bad. Now, here's what caught my attention. He didn't say the small things or the big things. He took the big extremities, because there is nothing more extreme than death and life. They are at the polar extremities of this totem pole. The death is way over there, and life is way over there, and there are extreme forces that govern life where we are. And he says, as extreme as they are, they can be controlled by your tongue. And then he says, those who love to talk are either releasing death over their lives, or they're releasing life over their lives. And so, brothers and sisters, if the world says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, and the Bible says, the words of your mouth are bringing death over your life, or life over your life, I think we should go with the Bible. Can I get an amen? Man, I've seen it. I've seen your tongue, man. If you don't learn how to, and when we say death, we're not talking about you ceasing to exist or dropping dead. We're talking about everything that resulted from sin in the garden. So you can bring depression to your life through your words. You can bring poverty to your life through your words. You can bring sickness to your life through your words, and pain to your life through your words. And I'm not talking about just one word you use isolated from your entire life. Your picture, the way your life looks right now, at least according to this Bible verse, is a reflection of your dominant words that you use in your life. And Satan has a sneaky way of wanting to get the church to not understand this. He wants to get us to confess a death without realizing that we are releasing a force of faith. And so David went to see his brothers. They were in the valley, you know, fighting Goliath. Back in those days, you'd get your champion to represent your country, and then they would fight the champion from the other country. Whoever loses, you know, had to serve the other people. And so David and his brothers, they're there, and the enemy has a way of sneaking in words into your mouth that are self-defeating. Words of victim vocabulary. Hopefully we will be able to eradicate that from your mouth during this series. And so David is talking to his brothers. His brothers, man, have you seen Goliath? He's big. Goliath is big. Now, if death and life are in the power of the tongue, man, I'd rather release life than death in every situation. See, God hasn't called you to be a social commentator. He has called you to be a divine orchestrator. If your situation calls for you to just say it like what it is, you should go into the Word of God so you can find a scripture, so you can script it according to God's Word. And so David saw Goliath, and he says, I'm not going to allow the enemy to give me a different script. I'm going to script this according to God. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to come against the armies of the living God? And he began to orchestrate his divine destiny. He said, today I'm going to cut your head and feed your carcasses to the birds. And guess what? The battle was won when he finished saying what he said. All of that other extra stuff was just to confess and to confirm the force of faith that he had released with his words. And so if death and life are in the power of the tongue, as extreme as they are, you can literally, with your words, pull things. See, when God blesses you, he gives you things that are thriving. And we've been to weddings, Pastor C and I, and everything was beautiful. I mean, this thing was a blessing from the Lord. It came full of life. I mean, when we were at the wedding, I mean, every table had the flowers from, they were fresh. They had just, I mean, the setup was amazing. The people who were in the bridal team were color coordinated, and everybody, even the mothers to the bride, they had a little hat, and the parents, I mean, they were looking sharp. This thing was flying. When the bride walked in, we all stopped. We all stood up. We stopped. Jaws dropped. We hadn't seen anything as beautiful as that until the brother started talking to her. See, I'm not getting any amens anymore, because it's coming close to home. You see, they came in there, and then they got married, and they started staying together, and it was over here. This marriage was over here on the extremity of life, and then they started talking to each other. See, they started dragging. See, your words have a tendency to drag your life situation by the ear. So they started talking to each other in all kinds of, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:29, to communicate with one another with words that are seasoned with salt, washes, so that it may impart grace to the hearer. They started talking to each other in words that did not impart grace. They imparted all kinds of things, strife, hurt, and all kinds of stuff. And they literally took the blessing God had given them from over here on this extremity. You're stupid. And they started dragging that thing. You're crazy. I'm going to leave you. And what they were doing is they were dragging that marriage over here from the extremity of life to the extremity of death. And then they came to us and they wanted us to wave our hands over them and fix it to get them. No. If you used words to get it over here, you're going to have to change the way you talk, start speaking life so that it can get back over there. Can I get an amen? And so the question is, have you been speaking life or death over your life? What have you been saying over your business? What have you been saying over your marriage? What have you been saying over your children? Man, I've heard some parents talk to their children. It's pitiful. Say, man, you just like your uncle. You just like your father. Just no good for nothing. You're going to turn out to be just like your father. And when we do that, we're actually releasing death. You know, when my first child was born, I had a speech prepared. Oh, before they were born, we would talk to them and speak to them. You see, because the womb is full of water, and water communicates. Water sends signal. If you don't believe it, go and Google. There's a guy who did an experiment, and he put frozen water in different thing, and put mean words on the other one, and he put beautiful, life-giving words on the other one. The one with life-giving words was symmetrically formed, and it was flourishing. The one with crazy words, it was chaos everywhere. So your words are important. And so we would speak to our kids. And when they were born, I had a speech prepared, held them in my hands. The doctor thought I was crazy, held them in my hands. And I said, you are a world changer. You are the head and not the tail. You came into this world and you're going to live better than you found it. And then I pass them on to the doctors to check their vitals, whatever. But I've got to be the first one to speak over my children. Can I get an amen? And that's how you do it. See, some of you need to learn how to talk to this one. This one, the doctor said this one is autistic. No, you got to change your confession. Amen. It says in Numbers 6:22. Let's go there. Numbers 6, you see the benefit of coming to second service, you get extra. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, and his son, saying, tell Aaron, go back. Stay there. What version was that? Tell Aaron, I like it better, right? Speak, tell Aaron, tell the brother Aaron, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way. Someone say, this is the way. Hunch your neighbor and say, this is the way. This is the way you should bless the children. See, some of you need to learn how to talk to your children. Yeah. This one is not good at math. Who told you? This one is, man, I've heard parents say, this one is a slow learner. I've heard, man, I say, man, you need to go back to parent school. I've heard parents say, this one, watch what he said. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. You know how you bless them? What's the next three words? That's how you bless your children. You say to them, and this is what you say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's how you talk to your children. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis. It's going to help you. Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1 to 3. If you have it, you can say, I have it. And it says in the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's what happens, right? God created the heavens and the earth. And he begins to tell us what had happened. And he says in verse 2, and the earth was without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, what was peculiar about this verse is that the Spirit of the Lord was present, but there was still chaos. And the chaos didn't sort itself out just because the Spirit of God was present. Man, you could be a believer full of the Holy Ghost and still live out from a place of chaos if you don't learn how to release the force of faith. And so it says, until God said, verse 3, and God said. God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Now, God could have winked for light to come. Wink. He could have done it. But God is showing us something. That the way you create is by saying something. Can I get an amen? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen? Now, verse 9, and God said, I'm going to say God said, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place and let the dry land appear. And I want you to read the last three words with me. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And I want you to read the last three words with me. And it was so. It always starts with God said, and it ends with it was so. That's God's MO. That's God's modus operandi for creation, for creating things. God speaks things into existence. That's how faith functions. Can I get an amen? Now, God is just showing us how it's done. And then what God did is he then transferred that ability to us. And someone may say, how so? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. You can underline that word image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so we see in verse 26, God created man twofold. He created us after in his image and after his likeness. Now, image speaks of a God's nature. And God is a spirit. John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and so he created you and I to be spirit beings. You are not your outer shell. You are not your body. You are a spirit man who possesses a soul and lives in a body. Amen? And the second thing that God created us with that's similar to him was his likeness. Now, likeness speaks of how God functions. Now, not only God is he a spirit, he's a speaking spirit. And so when he created us to be speaking spirits too. And it's one of the things that distinguish us from the animal kingdom. See, animals are not spirits and animals don't speak. Now, I did not say animals don't communicate. I said they don't speak. Because speaking is not for communication. At least God's original intent for speaking was not for communication. It was for creation and worship. Now, the enemy wants you to think that, you know, speaking is for communication, and so you can just say whatever you want, and he doesn't want you to realize the force behind every word that you speak, that you are creating. You are creating something. And so God created Adam to be a speaking spirit, and after he created him to be a speaking spirit, he took him into the garden and gave him a practice session. He said, Adam, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak something and create it. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 2, verse 19. Gave him an opportunity to practice this thing. Because from that day onwards, Adam was to create his world. Genesis 2:19, and it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever, someone say whatsoever. This is a powerful thing. It says after, you know, God put Adam in the garden, God started forming and creating these animals. And so God would create this one long mouth animal, reptile that lives in water, right? With sharp teeth and snap, snap. And he would bring it to Adam and say, Adam, what would you call this? And Adam would say, crocodile. God would go over there and create a big mammal, gray, with big ears and a trunk. And he would bring it to Adam and say, Adam, what would you call it? Elephant. And then God would create a bird and gray and a little bit of white over here, bring it to Adam. What would you call that? You call it a dove. And what was interesting was that whatever Adam called it, God did not argue with him. Because whatever the principle is, I've given you the creative force, and whatever you call it, it becomes. He says, whatever Adam called it, whatever he called it, that was the name thereof. And the question I have today for you and I is, what have we been calling it? Because whatever you call it, it becomes. What have you been calling your life? Man, what have you been calling that job? You know, this job sucks. This job is going to be the death of me. This job. What have you been calling it? Because whatever you call it, what happens? It becomes. What have you been calling your spouse? You're stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid. You'll never do anything. You'll never do anything successful. See, you're right. Whatever you call it, it becomes. And a lot of people get surprised when what they've been calling it shows up at their door. But the principle has already been given. Whatever you call it, it becomes. See, because words are not just for communication. Words release life or death. Can I get an amen? See, they say as you are born, you look like your mom or dad. And as you get older, you start to look like your decisions. I want to change that a little bit. When you are born, you look like your mom or your dad. As you get older, you start to look like your words. If you have too much victim in your vocabulary, you start to look like a victim. And I mean, I'm not knocking anybody because I've been there. I had too much victim in my vocabulary. Before I learned this, it was always somebody else's fault. You see that guy over there with the red shirt? It's his fault that my life sucks. You see my teacher at school? You see I failed. You see my teacher? It's his fault that I failed. It was always somebody else's fault. My parents. See my parents. If Bill Gates would have been my father, I mean, I wasn't lying. If Bill Gates was your father, oh, that would have been nice. But it was always somebody else's fault. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so I had too much victim in my vocabulary. And guess what? Life was kicking my back. Life was kicking my backside and whipping my head. It was pitiful. It was as if life turned me around and started kicking me around. And I didn't realize that it was me. I was the architect of my own destiny through the words that I spoke. You know, I was in Atlanta the 1 year, and one of my friends, Hassani Pettiford, he's a relationships coach, and he was in his basement, and he was doing a live broadcast, and I was there live, doing a live broadcast, and he was taking in questions and answering them and so on and so forth. And one of the, Atlanta is predominantly black, right? One of the single people were online, a lady, you know, right, typed in, and he said, you know, Hassani, I hear what you're saying, the coaching and relationship and stuff, but I just want to let you know that the market in Atlanta is not enough eligible bachelors for us black women. And this is what she said. She said they are either all in jail or they also like men. That's what she said. And Asani said this. This is what Asani said. This is what Asani said. He said, whatever you say, you are right. He said, right across from you, on the other side of the street, there is a young lady who's saying, there are too many bachelors in Atlanta. I don't know what to do with them. Guess what? Whatever she's saying, she is right. Because the life you experience, the life you create, God has given us the ability to frame our worlds. You can't frame the world, but you can frame your world, the one that you live in. You can frame it to become a world of opportunities. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, whenever you're pressed, what the enemy is trying to do is to get you to live the script of scripture so that you can take on the script of circumstances. And so the enemy is always going to poke you. He's always going to put you in a press. He will show you your bank account and say something. And most people get stuck in the rut because they haven't learned how to speak after the script. Can I get an amen? Amen. I learned whenever I'm pressed, I can shout, I have favor with God, I have favor with man, I have a good understanding, and doors open for me. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter number 6, verse 45. Let's lay a foundation as we close. We're going to lay a foundation as we close. Amen. Luke chapter number 6 verse 45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Watch this now. This is the conclusion. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And so we learn three principles here, that the source of your words is your heart. Whatever you put in your heart in large enough quantities will surprise you. Yeah. Why? Because it will spill into your mouth for creation. Amen. I remember the one time we were driving, as a bunch of us preachers, we were driving right here in Monte Cassino, four of us in the car. We're driving, and one of the chief preacher was driving, and he got caught, and a cuss word came out of him. Oh, brother, sorry. And we said, man, you ain't got to be sorry. We know exactly now what you've been putting in your heart. See, because your mouth is automated to release whatever you put in your heart in large enough quantities. This is why I refuse to watch foolishness. You know, there was this documentary that came out from where I'm from, and it was about how politicians are stealing money and so on. Everybody was watching that stuff. I knew my heart is a treasure chest. It's not a trash can. 8-part series of foolishness. I ain't going to watch it. Because guess what? Is it going to sow freedom in my heart? Is it going to sow prosperity in my heart? Is it going to sow the word of God based off of his script in my heart? No, it's not. So I'm not going to watch it. And so all I took was a one sentence update from someone who had watched it for 8 hours. And without mentioning any names, hallelujah. I said I'm not gonna watch. Everybody watch. You know what I like watching? I like watching. We're at the top of the league. We're cooking. He's trying to pick on my team. My team is at the top. He picked on it the wrong day. And so I'm saying this to say, whatever you see, you can't watch Scandal. You could say a scandalous man. Let's rephrase Luke 6:45. We could say this. A scandalous man or woman, out of the scandalous treasure of his heart, will bring forth scandals. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm not knocking TV programs, but I'm saying, according to Proverbs 4:23, you've got to be selective with what you allow to be planted in your heart. Now, I don't mind watching a superhero movie where the guy is cooking and he's going to whip everybody. We all know he's going to win. I don't mind watching that because I'm a victor and I like winning. In fact, what I do is I watch the first 10 minutes just to figure out who the main guy is, who I'm cheering for, and I take a nap in between. And then I wake up to watch the last 10 minutes. So I don't have to go through the adversity, you know, before the triumph. Amen? But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, do not allow your heart to be turned into a trash can. Do not allow the garbage of this world to be dumped into your heart, because it will change your conversations and you will start to speak limitation.
Amen. Amen. In fact, that word issues means borders and boundaries.
That's what it means. Borders and boundaries. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And so your mouth is the final seal of approval of your thoughts. It is the last department of approval. Once it leaves your mouth, all you're going to get is its creation. And so this is why we got to be careful what we speak. What we speak, we got to go with the script and not see the enemy wants us to just make commentaries about what it looks like. You know, when COVID came in 2020, everybody was scared, running around. And I told my wife, I said, let's go over there to Psalm 91. Let's remind ourselves. We started planting it in our hearts. Psalm 91, you know what it says? It says, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 in my right hand, but it won't touch me, can't touch me. Even MC Hammer can't touch me. Amen. And then it goes over there. You know what else it says? It says, a plague will not come near my dwelling. And so what we would say is we'd sit around our house, and you ain't got to be superstitious about it. Just sit it while you, say it while you're watching TV. Hey, no plague will come around my dwelling. You speak it out, you release it, it becomes a force for your household. Now, I looked over the fence. My neighbor was talking to me over the fence. I'm saying, no plague will come near my dwelling. My neighbor was saying, hey, it's now come to Gauteng. I said, hey, no plague will come near my dwelling. He says, they have 33 cases now of COVID in Gauteng. Now, as hilarious as that is, that's what's been happening. People have been allowing circumstances to shape their lives because they allow circumstances to change their vocabulary.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in sales, the years how you don't break records. You leave your house and say, the market is shrinking. This is how you lose sales. You leave your house and you say, the retail industry is dying, but you work in the retail. That's how, when we walk in, we know, you see, because life is an energy. I was talking to someone, you know, when we play golf, it's always, we use words to transfer energy. We say, energy is never lost, it's transferred. I was playing with Arthur. The one time, Arthur is holding his club. Arthur Menches, y'all know Arthur. He's holding his club, and Arthur tried to whip that thing. It didn't go anywhere. I said, Arthur, I think today Mrs. Menches is the one that came to golf. What I did is I transferred energy. Now he's under crazy pressure. Now he's, now I'm watching him. I'm saying, Arthur, you go. And now he's overheating everything now because he doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want to be a sissy. And so, circumstances, see, what circumstances are meant to do is they're meant to transfer a sort of energy to you. And if you let them, you know, what Goliath would do every single morning is he'd come out and transfer energy. He'd say some things to the camp in Israel and you'd transfer energy to them. Just like your bank account is transferring energy to you, just like a doctor can give you a diagnosis that transfers energy to you, that's not supposed to form the script of your life. Your script comes from the scripture. If you want a script of victory, you get your script from the scripture.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
See, all these life circumstances, they're trying to change your vocabulary. Get you to start talking defeat. And so when David came out, Goliath said, I'm going to go first. And he started, go read it. Goliath started talking to him. He says, am I a dog that you come to me with stones and sticks? In other words, what Goliath was saying was, young man, And David turned around and says, young man, me? No, young man, you. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to come against the armies of the living God? He said, today I'm going to cut your head and feed your carcasses to the birds. And he won that battle when he finished saying what he said. Can I get an amen? And so I'm saying to you this morning, my encouragement to you is that you check your vocabulary. Start using your words to your advantage. Because whatever you release in words, you have given authority to become in your life. And so while you guard your heart with all diligence, allow your mouth to release grace over your circumstances. And some of you are still, you know, in doubt. And this is what I said in the first service, you know, talking about imparting grace. I said, you know, Sabelo runs races. I was talking to him outside. He went and ran 42 kilometers last week, and his qualification for the comrades. I asked him, when you're running the comrades, and Pumlani here runs as well, when you're running the comrades, they have a tunnel of people on the roadside. And you know what those people are doing? Those people are imparting grace to the runners, saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, you're almost there. Let's go. You look like a runner. Yeah, that's how some of you should be talking to your spouses. You see, the amens are dying now. No, it was good when it was about comrades, but they don't want to talk to their spouse like that. Can I get an amen? That's how you should be talking to each other and say, you can do it. Say, you're going to get this promotion. Say, this one is yours. Amen. Sarah even called Abraham Lord. That's like modern day daddy. You should daddy. You must say daddy, go for it. You must become. See, because Ephesians 4:29 sounds spiritual and deep, and some of you don't know how to apply it. It just means you are your number one, you are your spouse's number one cheerleader. They shouldn't be getting cheers from the PA. Yeah. That rhymed. Did you see that rhyme? Cheers from the PA. Now, if you're running the race and we switch that and we put people on the tunnel on the side of the road who don't know how to talk like some Christians and they start saying to you, oh, you think you're a runner? Look at your shoes. Look at your form. How did you even qualify? Man, if we put people on the roadside of the comrades that talk to the runners the way some of you talk to yourselves. Forget talking to your spouse. Some of you, the way you talk to yourselves is just needs salvation. Some of you just, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody. Ah, no, us, we won't. And some of it is, the enemy is sneaky, right? He's told the church that, bringing ourselves down is a form of humility. No, you bring yourself to the level of Scripture. You don't bring yourself over, but you bring yourself to the level. And I've seen Christians all over the world, they talk down on them. We can't not do with the blessing. The blessing is not for us. You know what? You just release the force of faith. You just release the force of faith. Oh, it's other people's children. Ours are there. Our children, we'll never win anything. Our children. No one has ever won anything in our tribe. You know? They don't win anything. No, we switch that. I tell my kids, you are a winner. You, in fact, when we go to school, I like to play music, so we listen to my mommy picks them up. They do declarations and confessions in the car. And we win. What we've instilled in our children is a mentality of winning. It doesn't matter what it is. We have a family tradition where we play a Monopoly every Christmas. After lunch, we go and play Monopoly. I ain't playing to play. Some of you like, you're playing with your 11-year-old child, 8-year-old, just kind of play, it's Christmas. No, I ain't playing. No, I'm playing to win. I'm still to meet someone who plays to play. I play to win. Otherwise, don't invite me. I'm playing to win. We'll be playing. Oh, man, Munesa, she caught on it. And And the last Christmas, we put out Monopoly. Man, she's got two properties. I'm dominating. I'm cooking. I've got hotels everywhere. I'm collecting rent. And she, true story, she played until I got tired. And I said to her, why don't you just declare that I'm the winner? She said, no, I'm not declaring. Let's keep playing. True story. This is a true story. We had to declare a draw. And she was like, now we're talking. I mean, she every time she collects, she'll save up, pay me rent, collect, save up. And she said, we're going to play this thing. And some of you need to learn to play to win. And it starts with the way you talk. Start talking like a winner.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Start talking like someone who's going somewhere for victory. We've instilled, you know, this thing of winning so much in them. Just a month ago, they went and ran a 400-meter race. We win in everything. It doesn't matter. School, you've got to win. 400-meter race, I want to know, what number did you come? Cross country. She said second. When January, she said second. I said second. You know, second is the first loser. That's what I said. True story. When she ran the last one, she came first. I said, what did you do different? She said, I just took off when they said, I took off. And some of you need to start talking like winners. Can I get an amen? Someone shout, I am blessed. Someone shout, I'm the head and not the tail. Someone shout, I'm a leader and not a follower. It was Sister Amanda here. I asked her, I said, so what do you do with the children? She said, we do confessions in the car. She's got one, I'm talking about when Kutle was, 4 years old? He was 4 years old and the twins were like, little twins, met them when they were one. And I said, what do you say? I tell them, you are a leader, you're not a follower. And they do confessions. She tells them, repeat after me, we don't fold under peer pressure. And they go into school, we don't fold under peer pressure. Because I asked her, I said, how did you manage to raise such cultured kids? She said, we do confessions, and I'm forming the world of my children through teaching them how to talk.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so someone shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Someone shout, the Lord
is my shepherd.
Therefore,
I shall not want.
I do not lack
opportunities.
Money
comes to me.
See, some of you get scared when you start talking about money, but you need some. Someone shout, I'm a money magnet. I attract money.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand on your feet. We're going to try. We're going to try. Say, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. He has given me wisdom to succeed in the marketplace. I'm a market leader. I cut a new path. I do not follow. Amen. You know, Pastor C, she will always say this. And when the big tender in the banking industry was issued, she said, it's mine. Everybody else didn't believe her. She said, it's mine. I didn't believe her. I'd sat her down with my father-in-law. We said, you know what? We all believe this confession thing too, but you know. And she said, it's mine. I'm going to take it. I said, ooh, honey, I think you're going to see. Because as you take a step of faith, you're fixing to get out of the boat so you can walk on water. And sometimes people who love you, that mean well, they just don't want, you know, see you get wet. They say, stay in the boat. But sometimes you just know in your knower that it's time for me to walk on water. And when you know in your knower that it's time, start saying something. Can I get an amen? See, this world we're coming into is a world for people who've learned how to overcome by faith. And the way you release this faith is by changing your terminology, change your vocabulary. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And you're going to get around people on your job that you say, you know, your career is dying. No, not mine. God will give me a new one.
Amen.
Someone shout, I'm redeemed.
From the curse of sickness.
My children too.
I'm redeemed
from poverty.
I'm redeemed
from death.
I
speak blessings
over my life
and over my family.
Everywhere I go,
everywhere I go,
I receive favor,
promotion,
because of the blessing.
I expect it.
See,
I'm not talking about entitlement.
I'm talking about just expecting favor.
You know, when I go flying some overseas trip, now I change, I switch. I don't dress like I'm an economy. I have an expectancy on my life, an expectation on my life.
See, when you're an economy, when you dress, you're like an economy, they wear track suits. They want to be comfortable because they know it's going to be a hard life.
I change that. Now I have an expectation. I dress like I'm going to be in business.
And I stick around, stand around those business people, just stand around them. Yeah.
I'm working on something.
Someone once asked, say, Pastor, is a why you gotta pay that extra 80 rand on Safi to go to Durban? You could have just, you know, saved 80 bucks and stand with the people.
No, I'm fixing my expectation.
It's the priority body.
So for Safi, you pay an extra 80 bucks, you get priority.
Now, priority, it's not too different from economy, but it's
for people with an expectation. It's people working on something.
So I pay the extra 80 bucks. Somebody, what am I going to do with 80 bucks anyway?
I'm working on my heart.
And so when I walk in, priority, all these other people who did not want to pay 50 rand, I say, excuse me,
I'm with them.
I've got to get used to
saying excuse me.
I've got to get used to that.
Can I get an amen?
And so as you go and do these
errands, expect favor.
Amen. I'm with my wife
in the car. You know what she always says when they're driving into a mall and it looks full?
She says, "Oh, honey, today is your lucky day."
True story. She always says, "Today is your lucky day." I said, "What's my lucky day?" She says, "With me, you're gonna find parking."
I say, "How come?"
She say, "I always find parking."
I say, "How come?"
She say, "Because that's what I say."
Amen.
And guess what? As we're driving in, someone starts putting the reverse.
Oh, you're right.
Because the principle is, whatever you say, you are right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Someone shout, "The Lord
has blessed the work of my hands.
I am a success.
I cooperate
with the laws of God.
Therefore,
I'm in the flow.
My storehouse is blessed.
My children are blessed.
The devourers are rebuked
of the Lord.
My children's future is bright.
They will go
to the best schools
with the best quality education
in the world."
Amen.
You know, I was talking to Yukon, one of my Chinese friends. You all saw him. He was here 2 months ago. He came to me about 10 years ago, and he said, "Tafara, I don't know what the Lord did, but my kids are smart." At the time, it didn't show. But he had learned to talk right about his children. Everybody else was saying, "Your kids are stuck up. Your kids need men." He said, "My kids are clever." And about 6 months ago, I was with Q, and he said to me, "The youngest one has 4 choices to go to university, and it's all paid for, and it's all Ivy League colleges." He says, "I say, so which one is she going to be?" He says, "She's got Harvard, she's got Yale, she's got Stanford." She's confused. Now, I'm saying this to say, instead of you walking around saying, "College tuition, have you checked? College tuition is expensive. Instead of you walking around like that, start saying, "My children's future is bright. They will get the best scholarships from the best schools. And someone may not believe it, but let them hide and watch. They can come around in 10 years' time. We're going to be known as the church where all the kids go to Ivy League schools because we've learned to know how to talk. Well, you got to speak life to the. Don't walk around, man, this little. You got to learn how to speak destiny into your children. Can I get an amen? We're going to end with this. Someone shout, I'm not intimidated by any situation. Because the Lord is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Always remember this. You know, way back, I'm going to end with this. Did I end two times already? There's one more. I can end one more. The maximum ending is three times for the preacher. I was in high school, and there was this guy. He was a bully. And so it was my fault because, you know, we would say some stuff to him that we shouldn't have said. You know, boys would be, hey, you're crazy. But I said it because, you know, I was with the leader of our gang. His name was Biggie. Biggie, we called him Biggie Smalls, the notorious big guy. He was my homie. So when I'm with Biggie, man, I could talk the talk. And then the one time I was in town going home, and this guy just came out of nowhere, and I was alone. And he said, yeah. He said, yeah. And then he held my hand. And man, I'm shaking in my boots. And out of nowhere, Biggie appeared. And I saw Biggie by the corner of my eye. I was about to say I'm sorry, but when I saw Biggie by the corner of my eye, I said, yeah, what? And so I say this to say, as you go to work tomorrow, some of you, the situation waiting for you at work, as you get into your car and you get on the freeway, your situation is going to say, yeah. You thought you were not coming back. But I want you to remember that Biggie is with you. Amen. And he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so you must look your situation in the eye and say, yeah, what? Why? Because the Lord is. Come on, let's try that one more time. I am not intimidated by any situation, because the Lord is with me all of the time. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I will look my situations in the eye and say, yeah, what? Amen. Someone shout, I cooperate with the blessing of God, and I use wisdom in my finances. I'm a lender. I'm not a borrower. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, can I share a secret with you? I'm the one who came up with these confessions. So can you. When you go through your Bible reading program, if you see anything that's awesome, that points to any child of God, write it down somewhere and read it to yourself out loud. Amen. If you read that Romans 8:37, it says, for we are more than conquerors because he has loved us and called us according to his purpose. You read that, man, you turn around and say, ha, I'm going to write my own confessions. Don't wait for pastor's confessions. When you have a Bible, you can write your own confession. You go over there in Philippians 4:13. You read somewhere where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can write. Let me write my confessions. This week, take time out and write your own confessions in a language that you can understand. Go over there, Deuteronomy 30. Say, man, I'm going to write my own confessions. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, but I don't ever go to the field. So let's change that. I'm blessed at home and I'm blessed at the office. I'm blessed in Johannesburg. I'm blessed in Cape Town. I'm blessed in South Africa. I'm blessed in the world. Just change it. Start writing your own confessions. Don't wait till next. You're going to wait next Sunday to do confessions? No, start writing your own confessions. Can't wait that long. 6 days. waiting for Pastor. Pastor will be watching the game. He may not come up with it. And they're going to win again today. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for you have given us, unlike the animal kingdom, you have given us as your, the prime of your creation, the eye of your apple. You have given us the ability to shape our own destiny. You have given us the ability to release life of our situations. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that we will use this privilege with a great deal of responsibility. We will not use words that hurt us. We will not use words to release the curse, but we will use words that release the blessing. We bless our families. We bless our marriages. We bless our businesses. We bless our jobs. We bless our careers. In the name of Jesus. The fruit of our womb is blessed. In the name of Jesus. Man, some of you are pregnant women. You need to start talking to that child already. Their spirit can receive life already. You need to start speaking life into their little bodies. In fact, while they are in the forming, their forming years, you can do more than you could try to do in their teenage years. Because their spirit is like a blank page just waiting for you to write a script that is based off of scripture. Once the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, you can literally shape their destiny to that place. Can I get an amen? Man, it's a privilege. Some of you have 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, and you haven't talked to them like you should. We all make mistakes, but man, I'm telling you, just go before the Lord, repent. To repent means to change your ways and to change your mind. Turn around and start speaking life to them. Can I get an amen? Amen? Man, once the Lord reveals and He shows you something, just start speaking it over them. Can I get an amen? Amen? Man, start speaking. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen parents who speak life into their children. They become something. And I've seen over here parents who are careless with words. They just say anything. Man, I've seen how catastrophic results that just come out of it. It's heartbreaking. When God gives us these children, we are to be stewards that release the blessing. Just like we read in Numbers, this is how we bless our children. We speak life over them. Can I get an amen? And we tell them that nothing is impossible. And I've seen people with children that become great sportsmen. I've watched the parents. The parents talk a big talk. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not going to hurt you to talk a big talk. Man, you talk to it's a world champion. When they walk in, it's a world champ is here. And let them start getting used to winning. Yeah. Amen? Not this one. This one. This one. Auntie, such and such from, I think this one will be alcohol drinking. And you look like her also. You look. And then we come back 15, 20 years from now, we see that one is exactly like Auntie. Guess how it started? Somebody released. Man, we have a great deal of. I'm not just wasting your time. I feel the need to say this. Some of us need to start changing our vocabulary, the things that we speak of our children. God has given us this privilege and it's a responsibility. I truly believe we'll give an account as part of the rewards that we're going to get from God when we go to the reward seat. God is going to ask, what did you do with my? They're not yours. They are His. He's just giving you the opportunity to raise them and to disciple them. Can I get an amen? And so, Father, we thank you for every family here. We thank you for every young boys, young girls that are represented here. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you will give to the parents a great deal of strength to speak words that impart grace. Grace. Not words that impart impossibility. Words that impart grace. Lord, I just thank you, for we know these great little ones have big dreams. Some of them have told their parents they want to be pilots. And Lord, I just thank you that you will give strength to the parents to speak life into those dreams. Some of them have told their parents they want to be president. And their parents, Lord, I thank you for a great deal of strength to speak life into that dream. Some have told them they want to be CEOs. I thank you, Father, that you're giving to the parents a great deal of strength to speak life into that. So that these dreams that you're given to these children may come to fruition. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody says amen.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. To find out more about how you can become a partner, visit faithhill.tv today.
We walk by faith and not by sight.